Good morning, everyone. I think I last preached here in August. Can you believe that? It's been quite some time. There's actually quite a few people here that I think they don't know me. I'm actually a pastor here. and I'm really excited to be here. I remember, I think it's more than a year ago, I was here from Stellenbosch. I was still working there. And when I was preaching, I obviously didn't think I would be here today again. But I remember something, and I'm going to mention it probably a few times, is that while I was praying at that time, it was like I could smell the rain. You know, it's like you can smell the rain before it actually rains. And I still believe, you know, when I pray, I still smell that rain. I still feel that God's going to bring us to that place where He's just going to pour out over us. You know, and even like today, it's like we can see the clouds. And it's like last night, it's like one or two drops, you know. And is that rain in Swakopmund? Anyway, yeah, I'm from the Cape, so That was not really rain. But the wonderful thing is if it's like what's going on at the moment in the church also. It's like we see here and there a drop of rain, but it haven't really poured out yet. And that's really exciting to know that we're getting to that place. And I'm sure a lot of you sitting here today, you know in your spirit that something is happening. Who of you know that God is doing something? You know, you just know He wants to do something, and we're not all that sure exactly what He's doing and where He's going with us. But what we do know, it has something to do with the harvest. It has something to do with God's power, and it also has something to do with making us more effective. You know, so, but where He's going exactly, we're not that sure. You know, so we're going, you know, we're riding in the same wave at the moment. But what we also believe is that God is wanting us to move to the next gear. He wants us to, like, go to the next level, in a sense. And the amazing thing is, even though the whole sermon that I believe God gave to me, it was when He gave it to me, I was like, God, of all the churches I know, this is the church that doesn't need it. And it was like God was saying, no, but I even want more of them. The things that I'm going to talk to you about is actually things that I believe that we as a church is actually good at. But I believe, as I say, that God even wants to take us even further into it. So that's really exciting, because I just believe God has high standards for us also. Okay. I just quickly want to open up with prayer. Amen, Father. Thank you, God, that You're the one that brings the rains, Father. You're the one that brings the clouds, Father. You're the one that creates the thunder, Father. And Father, even when we're standing here this morning, Father, we know that You are our King, Father. And God, in everything we do, Father, we can honor You, Father. And I pray, God, that when we walk out of here today, Father, it will be our joy to honor You, Father. And Father, we bring, Father, our hearts, our minds before You, Father. We know, Father, that even in this next few minutes, Father, God, only You can change our hearts, Father. Only You, Holy Spirit, can come and teach to us, Father. And I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit will come and talk to each one, to each one's heart, Father, and really touch each one in a way that only You can do it, Father. And thank You, God, that we can just submit this whole sermon, submit this whole time before You, Father. And thank You for Your presence, Father. Because it's so precious, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So my title is, Growing Up or Growing Old? Now there's a difference between growing up and growing old. Because you get a lot of Christians, they grow old. But they don't grow up. You know? And what we want is, we want people to grow up, not old. If you understand what I'm saying. You get a lot of people that is old in age, but they're not old in spirit. If you understand what I'm saying. So, but at the end of the sermon, you understand more what I mean by this. But what we do know is that if you want to know God more face to face, I mean, who wants to know? I mean, if you don't want to, you must. Afterwards, there will be an opportunity to come forward. We all want to know God face to face. And my question I want to ask you is, what will it take to know God face to face? You know, what will it take to know God face to face? What do we need to do to know God face to face? What is, you know, some guidelines? How can we get to that place? And if I can maybe ask you a question again, if I could say to you, sell all your stuff, everything you have, leave your work, and go and climb up Mount Everest, and if you got on the top, you will know God face to face. Will you do it? I think I might, actually. But yes, when it comes to God, God is not someone that commands sacrifice, but He commands relationship. So there's nothing we can do to know God more face to face. But what I also do want to preach about today is how to grow closer to Him. You know, not in doing more sacrifice, not by doing more, but just by growing closer to Him. And I'm going to mention a few things to you. Some of it is very basic, but I think we must sometimes be reminded about the basic things also. The first requirement, and I'm going to mention four requirements for you, or four steps or ways to grow closer to God, but I don't say this is the only four. So please, this is not the only four. It's just four that I'm going to mention. The first one, requirement to grow closer to God, is faith. Okay, that's actually a little bit obvious in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, you can't grow closer to God if you don't believe He exists, and if you don't believe He loves you, or He wants to love you, or something like that. So that's always the first requirement. You first have to have faith. Otherwise, the rest won't help. Now, what you will also find by going through this next four steps, or phases, or levels, whatever we want to call it, you will find a lot of people stop at some of those. Because you get a lot of people that they stop exactly here. They say they're saved. They believe there's a God. You know, but they stop right there. They don't grow closer further than that. The second one is diligently seeking God. In James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So again, you don't wait for God. God waits for you. We sometimes want to sit and we want to, you know, we say to God, I want to know You face to face. But then it's like we sit and we wait for God to do something. But the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now, as I said, God wants to know each one of us face to face. Like He knew Moses, Noah, you know, David, all those people. He knew them face to face. Now, God wants to know each one of us face to face. But maybe it's a surprise to some of you, but God doesn't need to change. You know, we're the ones that need to change to get to a place where we can know Him face to face. So we're the one that should need to focus on a few things. So yes, drawing near to God so that He can draw near to us. Now, ways of drawing near to God is obvious things like reading the Word, you know, praying, you know, praise and worship. Those are things seeking God, you know, or in that place where you really, you know, like the previous verse said, a reward of those who diligently seek Him. So there's a place where you make effort to seek Him. Now, okay, now you get a lot of people, they do this. Now, they accepted Jesus, they have faith in Him, and they read their Bible, and they praise and worship, and all these things, and they are drawing near to God. but still it's like something is missing. Now the third one is partnership with God. I must say this is one of my favorites, especially in this time, is to partner with God. I want to read to you Matthew 11, verse 28, verse 30. 28 to 30. Come to me, all who you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, a lot of people doesn't get to a place where they really experience God's rest. Now, to get to a place of experience God's rest, or getting to a place of more intimacy of God, you also need to partner with God. Now, all of you will know, the more you partner with someone, the more you spend time with someone, the more you will learn about that person. So, the more you spend time with God, the more you will, you know, receive a heart for the things God has a heart for. Now, he says, yoke with me. Now, what is Jesus' yoke? Jesus' yoke is to lost and to make disciples. So a lot of people, they grow in their relationship, they go to church, they do all these things, but they never get in this place of intimacy of God. It's like I always say, you know, Jesus loves everyone unconditionally, but he only washed the feet of the disciples. Now, there's a place where he and the disciples had the intimacy that other people didn't have. And it's the same in your Christian life. As we want to draw closer to God, we need to get in that partnership with God, because when we start working with Him, not for Him, with Him, there will also be a place of more intimacy with Him. Okay, just like when you, you know, those that run together or cycle together, the more you run or cycle together, the more you learn about the other person. You know, so, and that's the thing. So we want to partner more with God, so that we can grow. Now the fourth one, and this is the one I want to focus a little bit on, is humility. In Isaiah 57 verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So what we also see here is that God likes to dwell with humble people. He's actually drawn to humble people. Now, it was this point where I was like, "What God, the people in this church, according to me, is quite humble." But I really still felt God saying, "No, you know, be obedient." And I actually want to talk about humility, because when we get saved, you're usually very humble, but then it's like it fades away. And what I just quickly want to do is to show you the definition of humility. It's the quality or condition of being humble, modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance and rank. Now that is the definition you will find in a dictionary. But I don't know about you, but I don't totally agree with the definition in a Christian way. What does it mean to be humble? You know, be humility. It's like a quality of condition of being humble. And I also went and I looked up humble. Now, humble is not proud or arrogant. It's modest, having a feeling of insignificance. Now, I don't know about you. Do you agree with this? Do you think it's humble to be insignificant? You know, because I don't know, then I'm really not humble. Because I feel I'm very insignificant. You know, I'm insignificant. You know, and the other thing is also being modest. You know, why do we think that humble people should be modest? Maybe I understand the word not correctly, but when you read, when Jesus got to the temple and he saw them doing those, you know, making money in the temple, and he sat down and he was making a whip. And then afterwards he threw, you know, I don't want to say his toys out of a cot, you know, but it went a little bit wild. Now that's not that modest, do you think, you know? And Jesus was very humble. So that's not humility. You know, and it's the same, you know, to say you're insignificant, you know, I don't want, like Dennis would say, my daddy is the king. You know, why would I think I'm insignificant if my dad is king? You know, he created the whole world. You know, I'm not that insignificant. You know, so it is funny to read, go and Google humility and being humble, and you'll find the weirdest stuff. You know, the other thing you will find is where people think that you should be like a worm. That's being humble. Now, what humble also say is not proud. Now, the opposite of humility is pride. Now, I didn't even go for the dictionary for pride because, again, I don't know. I was not that good of languages and stuff at school, but, you know, I decided I will make my own definition for pride. And I see pride is when you judge yourself to be someone. You know, when you judge yourself, because only God may judge. So if you judge yourself saying that I think I am better than someone, you are judging yourself. You know, and you may not say that you are better than someone else. But the same judging yourself goes to the other way also. If you judge yourself to say, well, I'm not worthy, isn't it the same spirit? You know, if you say, I'm not worthy, you're also judging yourself. You know, who gave you the right to judge yourself? You know, only God may judge. So now you will find that a lot of people, they are so, you know, deermat, how do you say that in English? The doormat. You know, and then I think they're very humble. But that's not being humble. You know, it's like being humble is to know who you are, who God is, and how do you fit in the whole picture. That's being humble. But, yes, so what I also want to say, having a low self-esteem is not being humble. Amen. Can I have an amen on that? You let's buy still. Yes, so, but we still need to be humble. Okay, now, James 4 verse 6, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now remember, we want to draw closer to God. So if we've got pride in our lives, God resists that. So if you've got pride in your life, God can't, you know, it doesn't help you do the previous three. You can partner with God, read your Bible, do all those things. But if you've got pride in your life, you know, God will resist that. Okay. Now I also want to read to you, this is probably the whole theme verse. Philippians 2 verse 1 to 10. I'm going to leave out a few verses. But I'm just going to read all of them quickly. But just follow, please. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And remember that one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming to the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. Now, one of the interesting things when we read something like this, it's again where you find, it's like, I think the right word is paradox. Where it's like, Jesus says to live, we must die. And again here, if you look, you will see God is saying, because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him. So it's one of those funny things, you know, to grow, you must humble yourself. But I actually want to go back to the right in the beginning of Philippians verse 1. Aaron John? Oh, is it on? I saw a boffin there after. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. And then the last sentence says, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, I want to challenge you around this one. Because let us make this practical. If the point 3 we said we need to partner with God. Now, to partner with God means you get in a place where you disciple people to get discipled so that they can get discipled. So now the question is, how do you know that you are a humble discipler? And the way to know this is when you esteem others better than yourself. The people you disciple, you must see them going further than you are. If you can't see people that you disciple going further than yourself, you're not a humble discipler. Are you all with me? I believe actually a lot of leaders make this mistake, especially pastors. They stand up here and they think that the people sitting there will never get to the place that I am. Now that is pride, you know. And I must say, I'm actually excited to know that all of you will go much further than I will. You know, but that's the thing, and that's something we must test our own hearts. Now, for those that are small group facilitators, zone coaches, the people in your zone, the people in your small groups, do you see them going further than yourself? If you don't, there need to be a place of humbling yourself. So all get what I'm saying? Is this a little bit tough? It's the same Jesus said about his disciples. He said, and they will do greater works than I did. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Jesus said his disciples will. And it's such a sense of, you know, humility from Jesus' side. Getting to that place where he, which is Jesus, saying his disciples will go further than himself. And that's the same mind and say that each one of us must have. The people around us, we must see them going further than ourselves. Then you will know you are humble. And then you will get to a place where God can actually use you into a next level. The next verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, for those in small groups, how interested are you in other people's dreams, in other people's interests? How committed are you seeing that other people reach their dreams, reach their ambitions more than your own ambitions? Because it's saying, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Again, that's a sign of humility. So already sitting here today, we must ask ourselves, how humble are we, you know? And, you know, and verse 7 there, a word that I underlined there, no reputation. I really believe God wants to take the church to a place where people, individuals, won't have reputation, but the body of Christ will have a reputation. Where God moves us to a place where we esteem other people higher, and because we esteem each other higher, the world will see the church and not individuals. Are you all with me? And it's important to get to that place where we get to it. Because I also believe a lot of you sitting here are frustrated because you know there's something more. You know that in you there's like a frustration. You want to get to that place where your shadow can heal people like Peter's shadow. A lot of you sitting here have this frustration where you want people to come in here for the first time. We pray for them and they get delivered, healed, and all that stuff. But what I also do believe is God says we first need to get these things right before he can allow us to move into that level. Are you all with me? I quickly also want to read to you 2 Chronicles 26. Now, it's a whole chapter, so I only took out a few verses. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, is this is, I don't know, Gary, how do you say that king's name? Uzziah. Is it like that? Just like that. Usually it's always this funny. Anyway, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years, which in that time was quite long for the kings in the Old Testament. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he sought God the days of Zechariah, who had, see, it's all these names. Why would people give this children names like this, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord God, made him prosper. Now, what we find here is that with this guy, if you go and read the rest also, he was humbled. At 16, he became king, and he was very humbled. Now, verse 15, so his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Now, again, I just want to give you some background. Now, this king, he was very good. Well, he was humble. He was actually very good in his technology. If you actually go and read, he actually developed a lot of new technologies. I'm not going to mention all this stuff. And his army was well equipped. They all had like the whole thingy, you know. And he took over a lot of cities and a lot of nations and stuff. But then, still, he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And they withstood the king and said to him, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord. Now, I'm just going to give you some background. After this, he got angry, and then he actually got leprosy while standing in the temple. So you can see again, God doesn't like when pride kicks in. But the amazing thing, and the thing that I really want you to see here, is when he got strong, and when pride came into his life, and it really crawled into his life, and all of us as Christians, pride isn't something that you wake up and now you've got pride. It's something that crawls in. But the thing I want you to see here, when pride kicked in, did he got more or less religious? He got more religious. And that's what I also meant with the title, are you growing old or are you growing up? You know, because a lot of people, as they're getting older spiritually, they become more religious. And I want to say, becoming more religious is you're also getting more into pride. And I want you to just see it there. Now, I also want to read to you Matthew 8:1-4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Again, this is where the title comes in. Are you growing up or growing old? The older you grow, or the more you grow in your relationship with God, the more childlike you should become. The more older you become in your relationship with God, the more passionate you should become. Not thinking that I'm a hoo-hoo, you know. It's the disciples, they were actually arguing who will be the greatest in the kingdom. Now, whenever you think something like that, you know, it means something is not right. Now, unless you are converted. Now, if you think back to the time you got saved, how did you feel? You felt vulnerable before God. Isn't that true? A child is vulnerable. When you get saved also, you feel vulnerable before God. If you grow to a place where you don't feel, or where you feel less vulnerable before God, you're growing in the wrong way. It's the same when just that time when you got saved, your greatest joy was God's acceptance, was God's presence. That was your joy. And again, so today I need to ask you, what is your joy now? You know, what's the thing that brings joy to your life now? Is it your works? Is it the things you do? Or is it God's presence? You know, and that's the thing we really need to look at, is how's your relationship at the moment with God? Is it more childlike? Is it more at the place where you're vulnerable before God, or where you feel strong before God? Now, Matthew 26, verse 31, then Jesus said to them, just to the disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, as surely I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. I just think Judas wasn't there anymore. He was already gone. Again here, if you look here, you can find Peter felt he was strong. And a lot of times, we also feel like we feel that we are strong. We feel now we won't deny Jesus. We won't do that. No, we won't get into pride. You know, and that means we think we are strong, but actually we're not strong. You know, and you all know the story, even before the end of the day. I mean, here Peter said, this is actually shocking. I mean, in the same day, Peter says to Jesus, I won't deny you. You know, I will die for you. I mean, and within that same day, he denies Jesus. I mean, the commitment there was like something not lacquer there. But anyway, the thing that was not lacquer was that place of pride, thinking that he is strong. Again, I want to read to you, before I get to the same Peter was also the guy that Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He was also the guy that cut off the other guy's ear. He did a lot of funny stuff, you know. And still, Jesus esteemed him quite high. I mean, he told him, I'm going to build the church on this rock. Not on Peter, but he was would be part of it. So, the thing that was also really on my heart since this last 2 weeks is really that place where, for example, where Peter came to the guy that was lame, that was sitting at the temple, and he asked for money. And then Peter said to him, gold I don't have, silver and gold I don't have, but let me give you what I have. And the thing that really stood with me with this whole story was, what would we have done if it was us walking past that person? What would we have done? Would we have given money to that person, or would we have been praying for this guy to get healed? Because I believe sometimes we come to before people and we want to give to them out of our place of being strong, out of place of being our strength. Do you understand what I'm saying? How did he know to get to that place to pray for him? You know, if there's a lame person sitting outside here, would you pray for him to get healed? Do you believe he will get healed? You know, and it's really getting at that place where we can move not only in out of our strength, but also out of our weakness. Now, and I really believe with all the things that happened to Peter, Jesus helped him to humble himself, because I believe he was quite humble when he prayed for that person. And the amazing thing is, if we read Acts 3, verse 12 to 13, so when Peter saw it, now just also again, when this guy got healed, everyone got crazy. They were like running to it and was jumping up and down, getting very excited about the person that just got healed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? You know, and verse 13, he just glorified actually Jesus. Now again, we need to ask ourselves, if we would pray for someone this morning and the person like get healed and start walking, the blind start to see, the deaf start to hear. I'm actually a little bit deaf. But anyway, so if something like that would happen here, what would be our response? You know, Peter's immediate response was to start glorifying Jesus out of it. If it was the year 2009, the person that prayed for the guy to start walk would probably started writing his own book and selling his own DVDs in 10 ways how to heal the lame. You know, and that's the thing. But Peter was at a place where he could immediately put the focus to Jesus. And again, I really believe God wants us to get to that place where we can pray for the sick. But we first need to get also to that place that when we pray for them, we will immediately give the glory to God and not take it for ourselves. And that makes me actually excited. It makes me nervous also, because I also realize that interesting things is going to happen. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 6. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in a man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And again, what I'm just trying to show you here is when we walk, when we do something, we must not always rely on our strength, on our natural strength. And the question I can ask to you, if God would take all your natural strength away, what type of Christian would you be? If God would take all your strengths away, what type of Christian would you be? If you rely only on your strength, you know, you are allowing pride to crawl into your life. There's a place where, and don't get me wrong, God created your gifts and your strengths, and we should share it. But we shouldn't rely on it. It shouldn't get part of your identity, of who you are. If people would ask you in town, or if I would ask someone in town, who is that person in our church, you know, you don't really want them to identify you by your strength. You want them to identify you by who you know, not your strength. And then I just want to end off 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Again, what we want is more of God's strength, more of God's power, but that power is made perfect in our weakness. And what we also know, and what I also believe, is that God is actually going to take some of us to a place where He's going to let us pray or disciple people out of a place of our weakness. You know, where you're going to work with people that you actually can't relate to at all. So I'm warning you. Don't be surprised if God brings someone on your path that you wouldn't relate to this person in any other situation. You know, it's an amazing thing is, again, like in our small groups, you will have people in your small groups, their ambitions and dreams doesn't fit with yours. You know, and again, being humble will be to esteem them higher than yourself. So there will also be a place where, you know, a lot of us, you know, we'll feel, no, it's not really my place to pray for the sick or pray for deliverance. But, you know, God might just use you in that weakness. You know, it's the same, yeah. I'm sure some of you have already had stories like that in your own life where God would use your own testimony, your own weakness to get to a place. Now, what I want us to do this morning, if we spill, is really get to a place where we actually bring our strength and weakness before God and say, God, it's your that I bring my weakness before you, I bring my strength before you. And it's like that last song that we sing, and I actually want the worship team to, because we're going to sing now. Can we bring the worship team, please? It's like that last song we sing, that where we sang, it's our joy to honor you. And in this morning, we need to ask ourselves, do we really experience joy in honoring God? Because if you don't, we need to get to that place where God can heal you in that place, where God can make you childlike again. But the Bible says we must humble ourselves. So what I actually want to do this morning is really to get us each to a place where we give our weakness to God and where we give our strength to God and say, you can do with it whatever you want. It anyway belongs to you in a sense. Okay, can we all just quickly stand? Can we all close our eyes, please? I just feel that maybe this morning you are sitting here and we are talking about, you know, healing the sick, praying for the sick, talking about God's power. But in your own life, you haven't experienced God's power. You know, when Peter's shadow healed people, you know, where Peter could pray for people, most of the disciples could do stuff like that. Also, a step that I went through was getting spirit-filled. And I just want to make the invitation, if you know that you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, I would like you to raise your hand and come forward. But I want you, if you want it, you need to come and get it, in a sense. You know, and it's easy to know whether you are spiritual or not spiritual. If you are wondering if you are spiritual, you're not spiritual. You will know if you are spiritual. You will have this story about getting spiritual. You know, so I would really, if is there anyone like that, that feels that they need to get filled with the Holy Spirit? If you haven't experienced God's power through you, I would just like you to raise your hand and if you want it. Amen. Can those people that raise their hands, can you please come forward so we can pray for you? And now, the second group, and I'm actually not going to make you come forward. But if you really want to come forward, you're also welcome that we can pray for you. But also just, the next group I really want to, is where you say to God, God, I want to bring my strength. I want to come and repent of not being humble. Where I want to bring my, where I made my strength part of my identity. And where I just want to bring my weaknesses before you. If there's anyone like that, that feel convicted to bring their weaknesses, to bring their strength before God, just raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come forward, but just between you and God, just raise your hand to show to God that I want to make that step. I want to go to that next gear. I want to be one of those people whose shadow will heal people, not because of my own glory, but because of your glory. Amen. Father, we thank you, God. Sing every hand here, Father. And I pray, God, yes, God, come and touch them, Father. God, I thank you, God, that you are so faithful, God. And Father, we want to come again, Father. We want to give you all the glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to, as we sing maybe that last song and the second last song, and I really don't want anyone to leave now. To get to a place, I want you to do business with God. And that's why I don't let you come forward. I want you, you must humble yourself. To do business with God. So while we're singing, worshiping, really bring your heart before God and say, I want to grow up, not old. Okay. And then we will end off the sermon. Can we just have a few facilitators praying here at the front? Amen. Come on.
I know it's true. You, my King, will die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, will die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, will die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, will die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me?
Yeah.
Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. 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 Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you.
Amazing,
amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? It's my joy to honor you. Amazing, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, will die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do.
Said that it is falls from my eyes, and you stand before me. I know you love me, and I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil, and you made a way. When you said, I know you love me.